failure, because that's the biggest thing, especially with New Year's resolutions, right? We're talking about January 1st. All right, what am I going to do? I'm going to start going to the gym, and I'm going to lose 10 pounds, and I'm going to go to sleep more, and I'm going to cut out alcohol, and I'm also going to work on my business, and I'm going to start a podcast. And it's like, you already lost, because you bit off more than you can chew, and you overwhelmed yourself. So it's, you know, this is the long game, right? That's why I just said, we're not talking about the summer. We're not talking about a couple months from now. We're talking about your life.
Hey, welcome back to the Ultra Marathon Mindset Podcast, where we talk about what it takes to go the distance in running and in life. I'm your host, Eric Dieter. I'm an ultramarathon runner and a mindset coach. When trail runners get together to run a few miles, we never know where the conversation is going to go. So if you're ready, let's get started. If you are hearing this podcast when we first release it, it is the first podcast of 2022. It is right close to the first of the year. We just turned over the calendar. And this is an appropriate podcast for the first of the year. My guest is Paul Levitin. He is a health and happiness coach. He's also a podcaster. We met at Podcast Movement. And we talk about all things goal setting, health related, first of the year. You know, I know a lot of people are thinking about what can we do to make ourselves healthy. And, as for runners, we still need to have some of those health conversations, because sometimes we tend to, I know I do, let things slip and not take care of our health as well as we should. So toss out all of those New Year's resolutions and listen to this podcast and get a different mindset of how to take a long view of your goals. Hope you enjoy my conversation with Paul Levitin. Hey, Paul, thank you a lot for coming to the show. I appreciate having you.
Thank you very much for having me. It's very nice to talk to you once again.
Yes. And I was on, we recorded an episode for your show. You're a podcaster and last week. And so we're going to be talking for the Ultramarathon Mindset this week.
So, yes.
And you and I met at Podcast Movement. For people, let us know who you are and what you do.
Yeah, for sure. So my name is Paul Levitin. I am a health and happiness coach. I have a podcast called The Healthy Happy Human, and I have courses and do one-on-one coaching all around helping people build healthy, happy lives. And, you know, you and I met at Podcast Movement, which is a convention for podcasters, and kind of, I feel like, connected over our just love of things, all things mindset and, you know, personal development and personal growth and stuff, and kind of just nerded out and have been, you know, kind of just chatting ever since. So I think it's going to be a fun talk.
What are some of the challenges? I mean, you're coaching people, you know, who are coming to you. They're looking for something. And so what are kind of the kinds of challenges that people are asking you about?
For sure. So my thing, I was for a long time purely fitness. So I was a personal trainer, a nutrition coach, strength and conditioning, corrective exercise. I did all those things for a very long time. So that's where a lot of my expertise is. But then in doing that for so long, I kind of realized that wasn't enough for most people, mm-hmm. right? That there are, don't get me wrong, there's plenty of people who go to the gym, and if you just give them a program, they're going to work hard. And, you know, if you just tell them what to do, they're going to do it. But that is the far and few between of most people. And most people, the vast majority, struggle with just maintaining simple habits and maintaining routines. And most people will tell you they struggle to lose the same 10 pounds for over 10 years, you know? So mm-hmm. it's this thing of what is out there in terms of, you know, personal training and all these programs and, you know, this diet programs and all these different things. Like, it's like they work, yes, for the subsection of people who have the type of mindset and the type of personality that will stick to it. But that's not most people. So I kind of moved away from personal training purely and nutrition and wanted to help more people. And to me, that's all about fixing the mindset, right? The mental, the 6 inches of sponge in between your ears, whatever you want to call it. So a lot of the people who come to me are looking for the same thing, for just weight loss. I say health and happiness. To me, that is you know, that's everything. It's your body and it's your mind. But the thing is, you know, a lot of people come to me for the physical, right? They're like, I want to get into shape. Like this is going to be it. But they realize that just the traditional stuff that's out there, the gym stuff is not it, because most of them have tried that. They've done every diet. They've gotten personal trainers, and there's like for some reason, it's just not clicking. And that's why I'm like, it's not you that's broken. It's the system that's broken. It's telling people like, oh, just do it. You know, Nike, just do it. You know, just be more motivated. And it's like, if that were the answer, then there wouldn't be a 75% overweight adult population in America with 48% obesity. You know, if it was as simple as like, just get up and go, everyone would get up and go, and podcasts like this wouldn't have to be a thing. Right. So that's kind of where I try to separate myself. And that's, you know, so although people are coming to me saying like, yeah, I want to lose 20 pounds, I want to lose 30 pounds, it's also the happiness factor. It's also the longevity factor. Right. I tell people all the time, like, this is not me helping you train to look good for the beach this summer. This is me helping you get your life in order so that 20 years from now, you're still going to remember the things that we talked about, and you're never going to have to do something like this again. So that's like a little bit of what I do.
Yeah. And a lot of people, you know, will probably be hearing this. We're recording this before Christmas, but, you know, I know that it's not going to be released until first of the year. So there may be a lot of people who are out there who are kind of in that first of the year. We always go, yeah, you know, that was me, you know, every year set goals for the year, and every year I failed. So, for the people who have, you know, like they're out there and they're in the gym and they're, you know, for the first part of January, what are some of the things that you encourage people to, so they don't fail?
Right. Well, it's complicated in that it's a big part of this is understanding that we're all unique. Right. And that's the whole thing. And that's why I do coaching. Don't get me wrong. I have courses, but for the most part, it's like everyone is different. Right. When we talked on my podcast, we talked about what motivates you, and what motivates you is not what motivates me. And what motivates you and me is not what motivates the 10 people that I coach. So it's one part is understanding that's a big thing, is understanding that like you are not broken because you can't do it. Like, oh, why can't I stick to my New Year's resolutions? Like that's, you know, everyone has a different type of personality. Everyone has a different life, right? A single mom with three kids is a very different life than me being a single guy with no kids, you know? So, and like the things that I can commit to, like I say, I work out 6 days a week, and I do, but it's like, that's because I don't have a lot of responsibilities. It's easy for me to work out 6 days a week. So the first part is just understanding the realities of where you are. And then from there, it's making realistic expectations that aren't setting yourself up for failure, because that's the biggest thing, especially with New Year's resolutions, right? We're talking about January 1st. All right, what am I going to do? I'm going to start going to the gym, and I'm going to lose 10 pounds, and I'm going to go to sleep more, and I'm going to cut out alcohol, and I'm also going to work on my business, and I'm going to start a podcast. And it's like, you already lost because you bit off more than you can chew, and you overwhelmed yourself. So it's, you know, this is the long game, right? That's why I just said, we're not talking about the summer. We're not talking about a couple months from now. We're talking about your life. And when you understand that, there's no such thing as too small. And I'd rather go too small and stay with it than go too big and be out of it in 2 or 3 weeks or whatever. You know, the crazy statistics, 80% of people fail their New Year's resolution in the first like 2 weeks, and 90% are done by January or something like that. You know, so it's like, why even try to set yourself up like that when you could just... But the thing is that people don't want low and slow. They want fast and quick and big and shiny. Oh, yeah, you know, yeah. That's the work that I have to do with people, is talking them back off the ledge. Everything is just self-sabotage. It's just getting in your own way. I don't need to do anything if I can just get you to slow down a bit to where it's actually possible for you to win, right? You're on ultra marathons. I'm assuming people listening to the ultra marathon mindset can understand this analogy. You can't sprint a marathon, right? And that's what people are trying to do. Right? They're trying to come right out of the gate sprinting, and then they wonder why they run out of energy, you know, 30 seconds in. And that's exactly what, you know, like what you have to do. It's like, if you've never run before, right? If you don't know anything about running, and you're just like a marathon, you're like, well, if running is good, running faster must be better. And like, so I'll just run as fast as I can. But then someone who understands something would go, well, no, probably not, because you're not going to be able to make it 27 miles like that. So let's pace ourselves and like figure this out. But the people who are, you know, and those are the people who actually have results, but the people who don't, and they just go all 100% right out of the gate, those are the people who usually fail.
Mm-hmm. So how did you get into this? How did you learn this kind of, you know, that you needed to step back? Because I know there are a lot of, you know, a lot of trainers out there, you know, in the gym that are just, they're giving the same standard line to everybody. And so you are kind of set apart from stepping back. What was the thing that kind of spurred you to that?
Yeah, for sure. A lot of it is it's just my own personal journey, right? Like, this is just the type of person I am, right? Going back to, you know, everyone is unique. I like to learn about this type of stuff. So after a while, don't get me wrong, I was in fitness and nutrition for a long time. And I used to read a lot of fitness and nutrition and like read blogs and podcasts that I listened to were all fitness and nutrition. But after a while, I was just like, okay, like I get it. You know, I was helping people. I was learning through doing, right? When you train hundreds and hundreds of clients over the course of a decade, like you start to see what works and what doesn't. I'm going to seminars, I'm doing all this stuff, but eventually like I wanted to just branch out. And my next thing that I started to learn about was psychology and human behavior. And that was just like me trying to learn this stuff for me, right? Everything starts with me. And when I became a personal trainer, it was because I just wanted to learn how to work out better. So I just learned about working out and I was like, oh, I could probably use this to make some money. And I became a personal trainer. Uh-huh. Then nutrition, same thing, you know? So this was just like me trying to learn for me. And I was just like, oh, okay, like this is the missing piece. Because there's a reason, like even myself, most people who hire a personal trainer still don't get results, right? If I train 100 people, I'm going to have 5 to 10, like, good results that I'm going to post about on Instagram and stuff like that. That's why it's so facetious what people do. Whenever trainers or whatever program is posting these crazy before and afters, that person is the one out of 100. They're not posting all the other people who, like, and don't get me wrong, my clients who hired me, there's plenty of people who got great results otherwise, meaning they're feeling better. They're healthier for sure for coming and working with me. But the amount of people who achieve a drastic transformation like that is just not real. Like we have this picture in our head of like, oh, like this is what fitness is, but it's just not. And then again, I understood that why is it that the answers are out there? The answers are simple, right? Move less, eat more. Everyone knows how to lose weight. No one has ever come to me being like, I just don't understand how weight loss works. They go, well, yeah, I know I should be exercising more and probably not eating fast food as much. Like, you just told me the thing.
That's all you go.
I was like, you know, what are you paying all this money for, right? So that when I had that realization, I was like, clearly there's something else there, right? Clearly it is not just like, you know, again, it's simple is not easy. And then I started to dive into this educationally, and I found out that I could become a licensed health and wellness coach. And through my certifications and then licensure to become a board licensed health and wellness coach, we learned a lot about things like cognitive behavioral therapy, something called motivational interviewing, which was like a real game changer for me, because motivational interviewing leans on the tenets that every person knows themselves better than anyone else, meaning you know what motivates you better than anyone, right? So if you came to me as my client and you're like, I want to run a marathon. And I was like, okay, well, what we're going to do is like set small incremental goals and we're going to build you up over time. But you're the type of person who you're like, no, like I need to have something huge to strive for. Otherwise I'm going to lose motivation really quick. I would have set you up for failure by me trying to dictate to you what you need. So motivational interviewing is how do I talk to someone to get that out of them? Right? How do I get them to tell me what they deep down know they need, but don't? So just learning through all these different therapy techniques and psychology techniques, again, one for myself, but two for my clients, I was still doing all this with the idea of being a personal trainer. But then after a while, I just understood that like there's more out there, and that by just doing personal training and just doing nutrition coaching, there was a lot of people being left out in the cold who were like, what about all those people who need help but are not being helped by every other personal trainer in the world? So I found myself a little niche, I guess.
Mm-hmm. So where does how do you coach happiness? I mean, what is that? You say your happiness. I mean, right. I mean, yes. Yeah, so if you change your life, the two probably go hand in hand.
Right.
But what is the happiness piece?
Right. So I do say they do go hand in hand. Health and happiness are two sides of the same coin, right? I can't have a healthy life if I'm not truly happy. It's just not going to be. And I can't be truly happy if I don't have a healthy body, right? If my body is the vessel that takes me through this life. And if people can say all they want, they're like, no, I'm happy. But if you're 300 pounds and can't get up to, you know, walk around without your knees hurting, that's not a full life to me. People can argue that this is my opinion, but I'm not saying that people have to be able to run a marathon or an ultra marathon or even a couple miles, but I am saying that there are certain things that your body needs to be able to do. And again, we do know that the physical activity reduces certain happy hormones and things like that. So the health and the happiness are interrelated, but to me, happiness is about being in control of your own life. And that's why I go back to that standing up thing, walking thing, right? If you're riding around Walmart in a scooter because you can't walk, that's not a full life to me. Mm-hmm. Right? If you were to, if we were in, you know, we're going to the podcast thing again this summer, and you were to say to me, "Hey, Paul, do you want to go on a run today?" I would say, "No, no, thank you." But it would be my decision. It would not be the fact that I can't do it because my body is so is out of shape. There's, and to me, that's a big difference, right? If I can do, I am in charge, and being in control to me is how you have happiness. Not that you can control everything in your life, but there are certain things that we should be in control of that when we are not, it inherently in at human nature will make us uncomfortable. Right? We don't, we like to be in control of our destiny. And when we're not, once that is taken away from us, it makes us unhappy. Right? Mm-hmm. So by reversing that, I can think that by getting in more control, that's where I can find happiness. Right? So that's what I try to do with, like, with happiness and health, they're all interconnected. But the more I can get someone to be in the driver's seat of life rather mm-hmm. than the passenger seat of life. Right? And now this is why we talk about scheduling and we talk about time management. We talk about all these other things because people think that it can be this like, oh, I don't want to schedule all my stuff and I don't want to have to live on like this perfect plan or something. But my point is that like you're now in control. When we're going through life, just putting out fire after fire after fire, we're living a life of reactivity. We're mm-hmm. living a life that's happening to us, right? I'm not in the driver's seat in that life. When I wake up in the morning, I plan my day. I know what I'm going to do. I know the actions I'm going to take and I know the reasons that I'm going to take it. That's a life that is in my control. And that's a life that I'm much more happy about. And that's what I found the most with most people is that when I can get them from being, living in reactivity to being proactive and being in charge of their life, they're able to maybe not find perfect happiness, but be a lot happier than they were before we started.
Do you find people who say they're happy and you know, that they're just kind of feeling, because our minds can trick us. You know, people say, yeah, I'm fine with my life the way it is. And,
right.
That probably would have described me for a lot of my life because I was kind of a go with the flow and just didn't have a lot of ambition or drive. And if you'd have asked me, I would have said, oh yeah, I'm happy.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, listen, this is not for everyone, right? You know, there's people who are going to say like, no, I don't want to just be healthy. I want to be super fit. Like I want to have really cool abs and big biceps and stuff. Like that's not going to be someone I talk to either. You know, like I'm talking to a specific person who is, you know, wanting health for bigger reasons than vanity. Right. And the happiness thing to me, like what you're saying, you know, this is that, I think that's before someone would ever come to talk to me, but there are people out there like this. And I think that this comes down to, we are living in a world and a society right now that is numb. People don't understand what happiness is. People don't understand what health is, right? Mm-hmm. People's bodies are, that's what I'm saying. Like if you can be 250 pounds and not walk up the stairs without being winded, but not realize that you have a health problem, like that there's a disconnect there, right? That the mm-hmm. fact that there's people who are like, I call it like living below zero. Right. So people are like dug themselves into such a deep hole that just getting out of pain is a big, big goal for people. That's just getting you to zero. Like we're not even talking about progress yet. Like you're just in the negatives. You're in the red, and just getting you into the black is a big goal. And that's a huge goal. Don't get me wrong. If someone's living in pain, someone's severely overweight, someone has like, you know, sleep apnea and high blood pressure and pre-diabetes or something like that, and just getting them in shape, inflammation, all this stuff, and getting them away from that is a huge, huge indicator of progress. But it's like, now you're just normal. Now you're just like where you're supposed to be, you know, without all of that stuff. That's not even saying to be able to actually be healthy and active and fit. So it's like people, because of a million different things in our society and technology and all this different stuff, like we are living in like this fog of like people don't know. And there's a, you know, people are also, you can say, people will be like, oh yeah, I'm good. But it's like, what's your day like? You're waking up to run to work, to come home, to watch Netflix, to scroll on your phone, to do it all over again. I'm like, yeah, if that's your life, then that's your life. And that's why I always come back to the physical side of things, because that's to me the biggest expression of life. Again, it's to be able to use your body to do something that's not just sitting around, going out for drinks, going watching Netflix, scrolling on your phone. I want to be able to use my body to do things. So the health and the happiness thing, they go hand in hand. But again, if someone is saying like, they're like, oh, well, like happiness is like, I'm good on that. It's like, okay, like then I'm happy for you, you know, I'm not going to tell someone they're not happy. But it, in reality, again, like that's all I want for people is to be like, if you're like, I tell people all the time, the compass is inside you, right? If you can, at the end of the day, when no one else is looking, when no one's paying attention, I'm not there. I'm not your coach is not there. No one else is there. If you can be happy with the way your life is going, then that's fine. Then that's all that matters. Mm-hmm. But when you're there at the end of the night and you're like, oh, I shouldn't have eaten those cookies, or oh, I knew I was supposed to work out today and I didn't. It's like, again, no one's there. You're talking this is happening to yourself. Now we also know that clearly your compass is pointing in a different direction. So it's like the thing, again, we know inside of us what's right or wrong and what's, you know, what that, and that's it. So when someone has reached a tipping point where they're like, yep, I really need to change, then I can help them. If someone doesn't, you know, you don't change. No one changes until they hit rock bottom, right? You know, like they change is hard. Change is extremely hard. So no one's going to do this for fun. The stuff that we have to do is we have to dig deep into your mental mess. And you know, you've done this work before, and it's not fun. No one does it just for a nice Saturday afternoon out. So, you know, when the time is right, then we can do it.
Yeah, and I ran into a guy that I run with, and we were talking, and one of the books that I've been reading is called Breath. And then another one by Patrick McEwen called Oxygen Advantage. So just really digging in, changing the way I breathe while I run. I was talking to a guy that I run with, and he said, I don't want to have to think about how I breathe. He says, I just want to go out and run. I'm like, well that's fine. But you know, there are things, you know, and as runners or just as humans, there are things we could do to get better at living or whatever thing we're in. There are things we can do, and oftentimes the sticking point is just the fact that we don't want to go through the effort to do anything more. And so do you find your clients sometimes get to that point where they kind of level off and they're like, I'm good, and they have so much more to do?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, like, listen, that's fine. That's the thing. This is a big part of what we're talking about too, is that there is no right answer for this stuff, right? Like if you think that you're good, then you're good. Mm-hmm. That's the thing, right? So like, if you're like, someone's like, I want to lose 30 pounds, and then they lose 10 pounds and they're like, actually I'm pretty good here. Then that's fine. Because this is the first thing I do with people, is like, we have to talk about the realities of the situation, because nothing comes without cost. So you can't say I want the result if I'm not willing to put in the work. So you can't say I want to lose 30 pounds if you're not willing to do what it takes to lose 30 pounds. Now, if we say, okay, I want to lose 30 pounds, and I say, okay, here's what it's going to take to lose 30 pounds. Now you have a decision to make, and there's no right answer to that. You can say, okay, I'm willing to do all that to lose the weight. Or you can say, if that's what it takes, then I'm not willing to do all that. And that's fine, as long as it's a conscious decision, because again, this is putting you in the driver's seat, right? Mm-hmm. People think that things happen to them, like, oh, I just can't lose weight. No, you can. If you do what it takes, you're choosing not to, and that's a different thing. And also, the way we phrase these things is important, because one is a decision and one is, oh my gosh, I'm a victim and it's happening to me. And it's fine. There's no right or wrong answer. If you say, I just don't want to go to the gym today, that's a decision. But don't say, well, I just didn't have time and I've been wanting to go to the gym for weeks, but like, I just can't figure out a way to do it. Like these are different things. And what will happen is, if I continue to use language where I am owning my decisions, it will change my actions, because no one wants to be the person that continually lets themselves down, right? That's why making excuses helps so much, because it's like, oh, well, it's not my fault, you know, the time or the thing, you know, I couldn't do anything. But when you're like, if you're saying, I just didn't do it because I chose to watch TV over going to the gym, like eventually either you have a come to Jesus moment where it's like, you have to be honest with yourself. You can't blame anyone but yourself. And again, if you're fine with doing that, some people will say like, yep, I just do not care. I don't care. I'm going to eat pizza for the rest of my life. And I will just die at 70. And I don't care about it. Like, it's just like, I'm like, listen, I can't tell you that that's wrong. Like, maybe that's the right way to live, you know? Like, so I don't know. There's just more about being, again, I come back to that conscious awareness and making these decisions and not acting as if these things happened to you is a big tenet in all of this for me.
Yes. And that's you know, the part of what, you know, you talk about, you know, being a mindset coach, you know, that's what I look at as well. The language that you use and the words that you use make a big difference. In fact, my, you know, I always pick a word for the year. My word this year is words, because, you know, I'm pretty good at that, but I'm still, I can get better at the way I use my words and the things I say to myself and the things I say about myself. And, that's, you know, you hit on that. That's a huge deal. It's a huge deal for people to pay attention to what you say and the stories you tell yourself.
Yeah. Yeah. So that, so stuff like that, like the realizations like that, or what, going back to your question before about how did I end up here? It's exactly things like that. Like understanding that, oh, I thought that what people needed was a better workout program, or understanding macros versus, you know, protein versus carbs versus fat. And I thought that people needed to understand that, oh, you need to be lifting and not just doing cardio if you want to build muscle, and if you want to like burn fat, that you have to do this and that. That's not what people need. What people need is to understand the power of stories and self-talk. Mm-hmm. What people need is to understand how those things dictate their lives, and how if they don't unpack that they'll never get the result that they, and because again, what happens is, it's known as in psychology, learned helplessness. Someone will only go through something so many times and fail before they say, well, clearly I'm not cut out for this, and quit. And that's the thing. Most people, they try, they fail, they try, they fail, they try, they fail, and they go, well, you know, I gave it a fair shot, which is fine. Like, how could you not think that, mm-hmm. right? How, you know, the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over and expecting different results. So when someone has tried every diet and not getting results, someone has tried going to the gym to the best of their ability, because they don't understand the psychological piece that's going on here, they're going to go, well, the gym just isn't for me, which is never the case. Eating healthy and exercising is for everyone. So what I need to do is to, again, unpack the self-talk, unpack the stories. So in my course, I taught a course a while back called Mindset Shift. And, you know, it's a 6-piece course. And the very first lesson, the very first module was stories and self-talk. Because mm-hmm. if you don't get this, you don't get anything else. We have to understand how important this is, because these are the things that stop you from doing the workout. These are the things that make you eat the Oreo late at night. These are the things that make you stop your business plan. These are the things that make you give up on your podcast 6 months in, because you go, oh, no one's really listening anyway. No one's going to, whatever, you know, whatever the thing is that you quit, it starts with a thought in your head. And mm-hmm. if we can control those thoughts, then we can control quitting. And if we control quitting, then you win. Because going back to your word, my word for this year, for 2021, I have a new word for 2022, but my word for 2021 was consistency, because that is it. If you can be consistent, you get mm-hmm. the result. That's my coaching is just to get people to not quit. That's all I have to do. I don't have to tell them what to do. I have to get them to not quit when they want to quit. And they're always going to want to quit, because change is hard. So yeah. that's the constant tug of war.
Well, and that's when the second hardest thing is start. And, you know, that's mm-hmm. I heard a guy who was at one of the motivational seminars I went to way, way back. There was a guy who, you know, they asked him, what would you tell people, you know, to do to get this transformation that you did? And he said, start and don't stop.
Right.
And I was like, yeah, that's simple.
Right. And goes back to simple is not easy, but it is that simple. That is literally, you just describe, okay, you want to be a billionaire? There, start working and don't stop till you have a billion. There you go. Yeah,
that's true. So tell me a little bit about motivation. You've said that before. How, you know, people who are relying upon motivation, how do they, I mean, I hear this from runners a lot, is how do I stay motivated to keep training? You know, what is that key for, you know, staying motivation, and I'll ask it this way, show my bias. Is motivation what we really need?
Yeah, no.
Set you up for that one.
Yeah, short answer, no. I've done, and I can talk about this for a long time. I've done entire podcasts on my show about motivation, and I'll throw discipline right in the same bucket with this one. Because these are words that I hate, because they don't mean anything. Right? People are like, oh, well, I just need motivation. It was going back to what I was just saying before about the whole, it gives you an excuse, right? If I'm taking the onus off me, I can't do it because I'm not motivated. Well, so how do I create motivation? Well, no one knows. Okay, well, now I can never do it, right? So that's the thing. That's why I hate these words. And we have to understand that motivation is just a feeling, right? You don't control it any more than you control happiness, sadness, anger, right? It might come in a wave over you. And there's some days where you feel super motivated.
Oh, yeah.
And you feel like, okay, I'm ready to take on the world. And you do your miles, and then you're like, I'm gonna tack on 5 more because, like, I'm just feeling good. And those are the good days. Those are the easy days. We lean into that motivation. That's great. Love that. Always good. Always happy when those days come. But the problem is that people who only do it when those days are there, right? So, like, when they're motivated, they're high motivation. January 1st, we're high motivation, mm-hmm. right? Day after our birthday. Mondays, new month. There's time is part of this too, like, because that's just how our brains work. But it's like, if I only rely on that, since I can't control it and I don't know when motivation is going to come, one is going to be high, one is going to be low, what I'm again doing is taking myself out of the driver's seat, right? I'm in the passenger seat. I am being reactive, reacting to when I am motivated. So what I have to do is not rely on motivation and instead set up my life so that I can live in a way in which I'm doing it regardless of motivation. And this comes down to, again, structure, planning, time management, setting small goals, right? If my goal, as you talked about on my podcast, I'm going to do the thing because I said I'm going to do it, right? Keeping mm-hmm. a promise to yourself. I write my, every morning I write what's called my MVP, and it's my mantra, my, values, and my priorities for the day. So my mantra is my life mantra. My values are the values that I live by. And then my priorities for the day, I write my top priorities that I need to take care of for the day. And in my values, the first one that I write every day is I always do what I say I will do. That's mm-hmm. it. And mm-hmm. if I say I'm going to work out, then I'm going to work out. And if I say that I'm going to go grocery shopping, I'm going to go grocery shopping. If I tell someone I'm going to do a video for them that I'm dreading, I'm going to do that. And that's all it is. Now that, and this is, you know, this is the annoying part, because people want a better answer to that. They want a magic answer. They want you to tell me how I'll be motivated. Tell me how I can be disciplined. Right. So I hate these words, because it's like, again, there's no pill for motivation. There's no pill for discipline. So if you're waiting for that, again, maybe someone will invent it someday, and that person will be very, very rich, you know, they'll crack the code. But until then, waiting for discipline, waiting for motivation, you're just, again, you're taking the onus off of you, and you go, oh, well, you know, I just need to be more disciplined. And when I'm more disciplined, then I'll figure it out. Again, there's no discipline switch. There's no motivation switch. What we have to do is make it so that when it's easy, it's easy. And when it's hard, we have fallback plans to make sure that we can do it even when it's hard, because we know it's going to be easy. Those are the easy days, right? Mm-hmm. People love telling me, my coaching clients, oh yeah, Paul, I ate a salad today and I went and did my workout and I crushed my goals for business and I cleaned my whole house. Like, awesome, dude. And then like the next day, nothing. And like, oh, well, I just wasn't feeling it today. It's like, those are the days I care about. The days mm-hmm. you weren't feeling it. The days that you were feeling it and you were running hot. It's like, all right, cool. Pat on the back. Like that's fine. It's what do we do in the days when we don't feel like it? So that's not really an answer, because I can't tell you how to do that. But again, this comes back to each person's unique personality type. What will motivate you? For some people, it's accountability, right? You hire a coach, or you, for some people, people do these things where it's like, I write a check to a charity I hate so that, and tell someone that, you know,
I was in a group that. It's so, in a group that we had to do that. It's like, if we didn't show up and do what we said we'd done, it's like you had to write a check to
write a check to a charity that you hate. And if you don't do what you're going to do, someone's going to send them $5,000 from your bank account or whatever it is, or even just money. So different people, again, are motivated by different things. Some people it's a trophy, right? Some people it's competition. So some people value that. I don't know what motivates different people, but the point is, set up your life so that, one, you don't have to rely on motivation, right? And these come down to things about habits and things like, you know, I used to think these things were silly, right? Like, oh, make sure you pack your gym bag the night before and keep it in your trunk. But stuff like that cuts away on motivation, right? If you're driving home from work and you're the gym is on the way, but you didn't bring your gym stuff, and now you have to drive all the way home and go get it and then drive back out, big chance you're not coming back out. If you packed your gym clothes the night before and put them in your trunk, you're taking away the need for motivation in that instance. So we have to reduce the friction, right? That's where we have to reduce the friction of the thing, because again, we don't want to do the thing. Mm-hmm. If I need motivation for something, it inherently means that I don't want to do it, because I don't need motivation for things that I want to do. I don't need motivation to binge watch Netflix. I don't need motivation to eat a pint of Ben and Jerry's. Like, I'm not hiring a coach for that. What I need motivation to do is the stuff that I don't want to do. So how can I make them a little less sucky so that I need a little less motivation? And that's at least the best place to start.
Yeah. And you talked about taking a long view and doing small, you know, looking at small things rather than big things. You know, most of us, I mean, looking for the easy button, looking for the easy way. What is a process that you help people to identify to be able to keep their eye on the big goal? I mean, lose 30 pounds, but to then make it into small steps.
Right. You have to have both. I think I do what I call big goals and short goals, big BHAGs. If you're familiar with business terminology, BHAG, which is big, hairy, audacious goals. And mm-hmm. those are your big goals, your long-term goals, your stretch goals, your 1 year and out goals. These goals are great, but they serve purely to motivate, right? Because you don't have control over these, right? If I lose 30 pounds, I can't tell the future. If my business becomes a success, I don't know that that's going to happen. The market will dictate that, right? I can put out all the podcasts that I want. I don't know that I'll ever get to 1 million subscribers, because that has to do with other people outside of me. So the big goal is what I'm working towards. And then I work backwards from there. It's like, okay, to get to that goal, what are the things that I need to do? Right? Running a marathon. Okay. Super easy example. Running a marathon is a great goal, but it's not really a goal, because you can't just pop up and do it one day. So it's like, if running a marathon in 6 months is my goal, what does training look like in reverse chronological order to get me there? So then I have short-term, smaller goals, and these are action goals. I call these low-hanging fruit goals. My low-hanging fruit goals are goals that are actionable in that day. Mm-hmm. Right. So what can I do? I can't say I want to run a marathon tomorrow. What I can say is I can get up and stretch. I can get up and jog a half a mile, whatever the thing is. And I build on those. So the low hanging fruit action goals are what keeps me going, keeps me moving forward, keeps me moving towards that big goal. The big goal is my just vision of like, why am I doing this? And it's something I'm working towards. So I have a picture of like the point of this, because if I only have the smaller little step goals, the low hanging fruit goals, it can become tedious where it's just like, oh, what the hell is half a mile? What the hell is putting, saving 5% of my paycheck when I'm when I need $1 million to retire or whatever the thing is. Mm-hmm. So I need that bigger goal of like to remember, okay, this is what I'm working towards, but I need the smaller goals to take me step by step to get me there.
Yeah. There's a book that I read a long time ago, called The Kaizen Way. There's the Kaizen is a Japanese term called continual progress. Tony Robbins kind of took that as constant, never ending improvement. And, that is kind of that what you're talking about, and breaking it down to like just even going and like putting on your running shoes and standing, and walking out the door. I mean, even that small is something about your mindset that helps you. It helps you by taking that small step. Doesn't seem like it's really that big of a deal, but when your mind, if you start moving that way, your mind is able to help keep you going that way a little bit, it's easier to keep going.
Yeah, for sure. I love the concept of Kaizen. And there's a book called The Slight Edge, yes, which talks about the same thing. And the whole point is incremental gains, right? And the power of compound interest. For anyone who understands finance, we understand that $1,000 at 1% interest doesn't sound like a lot, but compounding over time, because it's $1,000 with 1% interest, which becomes 1,001. And then, but the next time I'm getting interest on the 1,001. And then the next time after that, I'm getting interest on the 1,000 and whatever it is, point, mm-hmm. point, point. But the point is that over the course of months and years and decades, that extra compounding effect makes a huge difference. And so it is with exercise and with diet, because when I'm a little stronger each day, I can do a little bit more, and that my workout gets a little bit more intense, and then I can do a little bit more, and then I can do a little bit more. It all compounds on each other. And, this is a cliche, but the journey of a mile, the journey of 1,000 miles starts with a single step, right? Mm-hmm. And it can't be more true. This is the thing, is like, you can't start at the finish line. So people have this thing of like, they just want to be done, but that's not how it works. One, it's impossible. Two, it wouldn't be worth it if it was, right? This is the other thing. It's like people want the thing so quick. There's a reason that fitness is lauded in our society, because it's hard to get. Mm-hmm. There's a reason that, that fancy cars or whatever it is. It's like the reason people want these things is because they are inherently, they show that you worked hard for them. When someone buys a six pack through surgery, no one cares about it. That doesn't look cool.
Well, like, you can actually get plastic ones. You can just slip on.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. So that's what I mean. So if that's not cool, like if someone got that, they wouldn't tell anyone. They would have been like, yeah, I just paid for surgery for my abs, because make it pointless, right? The whole point of this stuff is that it's hard work. So although, again, we hate hard work, we don't want it. This is weird paradox. Like, we don't want to work hard, and yet everything that we want only comes at the other side of hard work. And also, it's only worth something because we worked hard for it. So it's like, how can I talk people into being like, again, now it's like breaking it down, because if it's too hard, then it becomes impossible, mm-hmm. right? I learned this in the gym. I used to teach my clients all the time. Because they'd be like, how do I know how many reps I should be doing? How do I know, is it six? Is it eight? Is it 20? With what weight? When do I increase the weight? All these questions. I'm like, very simple. Challenging, but doable. That's all I need you to do. I need it to be hard enough that it's a challenge, but not so hard that it's impossible. Mm-hmm. So if you do it and it's too easy and you're like, I did 10, I could have done 50. Then it's not a challenge. You need to do more. If you're trying to get 10 and you only get two, that means it's not doable. Now it's too hard. And all you have to do is find that middle ground. And now challenging will slowly increase, because as you're doing it, you're going to get stronger. So what was challenging this week won't be challenging 2 weeks from now. And then you have to increase. And that is life. And that is running. And that is finance. And that is relationships. And that is literally everything in life. If you can just challenge yourself enough, but don't overdo it so much that you're going to dissuade yourself and make it like impossible.
Well, and if you keep doing that long enough, you'll find out that you've done the impossible.
Right. Another paradox.
If you would have told me 10 years ago that I would run 100 miles, I would have said, it's impossible. And, And that's, you know, most people say, I can't imagine doing that. And it's like, well, I couldn't have imagined it either until, right. You know, until, you know, I got to the point where, you know, I was hanging around with other people who said, you know, that they were all doing it.
Right. So. And you know, that's the problem right there is when people say they can't imagine it, right? Because nothing is impossible that you can imagine, right? The, mm-hmm. anything that exists existed first in the mind, right? The Wright brothers, before there was an airplane, thought it up, drew it up, created it. And it was impossible at that point. Steve Jobs thought of an iPhone and it was impossible to think that we could, now we take these things for granted, right? But even before they invented it, it was a thought in their mind. And that's where everything starts. So if you're saying, I can't imagine being whatever, doing whatever, it's like, that is what is keeping someone stuck. And this goes back to self-talk and mindset and all this stuff, because if you can't imagine it, then it definitely can't happen. But understanding the flip side of that is you can imagine anything, right? Our imaginations are infinite. And that means anything is possible. Because again, you 200 years ago, everything that, even 100 years ago, everything in our society, what we're doing right now is impossible. Mm-hmm. We are sitting, looking at each other, talking from different states in real time, crystal clear, picture perfect, recording this that is going to go out to how many thousands of people on the internet. The internet is impossible. All of these things are impossible. Mm-hmm. And yet here we are. So it's just like when people have that mindset, that is what keeps them stuck. And that's what, to me, the coaching is all about. And that's why this stuff is so important, because it's like, that is the difference. It's not, once you have that unlocked, then you'll do the workout. You know, the workout part is easy. The eating right part is easy once you have the mental piece unlocked.
Yes. Yeah. And that's what I think is missing from a lot. What you saw is missing from a lot of, you know, fitness training, you know, nutrition training. And, you know, I think a lot of runners are in kind of a similar situation, or people who might be runners, because, you know, what you talked about, you know, the things that we're doing now, it were the things of science fiction movies back in the 1950s, you know, video, you know, talking to somebody and seeing their face, you know, that they, it was the you know, cartoons, and, you know, that was, they were, it was, they thought, wow, but somebody was imagining it even back then that this would be possible.
And yeah, for sure. And it's one of those things that got exactly that, like even before then, they have, you know, books from like the early 1900s of like science fiction, and where they had this stuff and people imagine them, but that's where everything starts. And a belief is the most powerful thing we have, because a belief will dictate our result for sure. Mm-hmm. If you believe you can't do something, you're right.
Yeah.
Now, believing that you can do something will not make it inherently so, right? People be like, "Oh, well, if you believe you can or you believe you can't, you're right," which is true. Because if you believe you can't, you've lost 100% of the time. Mm-hmm. Now, believing you can, if I believe right now that I can run an ultra marathon, never having trained for one, that's not going to happen. However, it will allow me at least to start, and then I will not sabotage myself.
Yeah, and you know, but you're going back to believing you can. You know, believing you can, it doesn't mean it happens instantly. Right. And that's the thing that I think so many of us don't get. And, you know, I think even of as mindset coaches, we're kind of in that way. We want results faster than what is in reality. We want to be able to just do it. And so what are some of the things that you do to kind of get yourself in the same, you know, stretching yourself? What are your kind of stretching goals?
Most of my goals right now focus around my business, growing my podcast, growing my coaching, because fitness, health, that kind of stuff to me is a given, right? I'm going to exercise 5 or 6 days a week, no matter what. I'm mm-hmm. going to eat. I say I don't diet, but I know that the way I eat is probably healthier than 98% of people on the planet, just because I've my brain works. Like, I just know too much about nutrition that it's very hard for me to eat very poorly. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so my goals are focusing on business and growing my coaching business, growing my podcast is something that I'm very passionate about. And for me, that's my hard thing, right? So for some people, like going out and running or going out and lifting weights is hard. For me, that's not hard. So I don't set it as a goal. I'm going to do that every day. Like it's clockwork. So I wouldn't set brushing my teeth as a goal, because it's going to happen. Yes, I need to do it every day, but mm-hmm. that's the thing. People will put something like that on their like goal list, but it's like, that's just a cop out. Like, you're just like, oh, well, you're just trying to check things off, you know, just because. So I don't put things like that on my goals. So my goals are more about building this stuff. But to me, that's hard, right? So that's, I fall into the same traps that everyone else does, where it's like, oh, I know I need to be doing X, Y, and Z. And I, oh, well, you know, I worked pretty hard today. I could watch a little Netflix, or I could do this, which is fine. Again, there's no, I'm not saying that I have to be Mr. Productivity all the time, but I also do know that I have goals, right? I have those big goals, and I know that in order to reach them, there are certain action steps that I have to take. So I'm just constantly assessing and reassessing myself and making sure that I'm just working towards something in the future, because that's my whole thing, is there is no standing still in life, right? You're moving forward or you're dying. Like that life, the universe is entropy. Everything is moving. So people think they're like, oh, well, yeah, I'm not doing that. You know, I'm not reading books, or I'm not doing anything to better myself. It's like, then you're disintegrating, right? The human body, the human brain, both work on the use it or lose it principle. If you are not using your muscles, they are disintegrating. If you're not actively exercising your brain, they are disintegrating. So for me, I don't really, you know, care that I'm not doing the perfect things, as long as I'm doing some things. And I've built my life in such a way that it's impossible for me not to, because of my, again, because of my value system. I value education. There's no day where I don't read. There's no day where I don't learn something new. There's no day where I don't exercise or move my body. I'm not doing it like crazy, but I ride my bike instead of driving to the store. I walk instead of like something. I'm doing something every day to honor my body and honor my brain. So that just, it's just, it's so ingrained in me that it's impossible not to. So the thing that's hard for me is to take the time to work on my business, take the time to edit podcasts or do the social media clips that I'm supposed to do after I do an episode or something like that. But I know that that's for the bigger picture of what I'm trying to build. So, you know, for me, that's my hard thing. For someone else, it might be meal prepping. For someone else, it might be going for exercise. For someone else, it might be, you know, working on their whatever, you know, it doesn't matter. That everyone struggles in the same way. But, you know, I just try to do it again in the same chunking it down into little bite-sized tips. That's why I said, when I do my MVP, my mantra, my values and my priorities. So every day I do at most three priorities, because I used to have a whole to-do list.
Oh yeah. My to-do list. I'm great at making like long lists.
Right. So, but then it would be too much. So now I have only three priorities, and those are the things that anything, what's on that list has to get done come hell or high water by the end of the day. So if it's 9 o'clock at night and I'm ready for bed, and like, I look at that list and there's something, it's like, shit, I got to get that done. Because again, I have to do, going back to what I said, where my values, I always do what I say I will do. So that's why I limit that thing to three. Someday, like today, there's only one thing on that list. And you know, like, I have to get that done today because that's my priority for the day. And doing that has simplified it for me, because I have other things to do, obviously, but those go on my, I have a must do and would be nice to. So those are my priorities for today. I have to get that done. If I finish those three things and do nothing else, I'll be happy with my day for the day. Now, if I finish those things and I have more time, then I go to my, these would be nice to do's. These are things that are not as time sensitive. These are things that are just like kind of floating all the time. I have to edit podcasts. I have to send, you know, emails. I have to do whatever. And like, these things are, we think of them as important, and they are, but they're not important right now.
Right.
So if I just recycle that every day, I'm always finishing my top priorities. I'm always making sure I'm moving a little bit forward. It doesn't matter that I'm not doing everything perfectly. I know that just like with consistency with the gym, consistency over time will lead to the result. I believe, again, believe in myself, that if I just stay moving forward, that I will get to where I need to go. And that's not about being perfect. It's not about hitting a home run every day. It's just about not letting myself fall off the track.
Yeah. Well, great. Give us a kind of where your podcast, where we can find your podcast and your services on social media, and how do people connect with you?
For sure. Yeah. So my podcast is called the Healthy Happy Human Podcast, and it's anywhere podcasts are found. And Eric was on there, and you can find our episode and dozens of others. I alternate episodes with different guests, and I also do solo episodes where I talk about specific topics. So things like imposter syndrome, things like scarcity mindset, things like, you know, the words like motivation and discipline. So, you know, you can find different topics that might help if you're listening. And then to connect with me, it's just my name at Paul Levitin across all social media platforms. Instagram is where I'm most active. If you want to reach out and talk about coaching or just ask me any questions, I love talking about this stuff. Clearly, I just like talk for an hour. So, you know, I'm always happy to talk to people. And yeah, that's why I made a podcast. So,
And that's good. Talking is something that I've always enjoyed too. That's the thing I love about podcasting, is getting to talk to people who have such great insights and doing epic stuff.
Yeah. Also, and for anyone listening, I just remembered, because this is going to be coming out in January, I did just create a new program, and it's called the 3B Solution, 3B being brain, body, being. And this is my new 12-week program that's going all, over all of the stuff that we basically just talked about, starting with your mindset, going over your physical health, body, physical, nutrition, mental, all that stuff. So if you're hearing this in January and that sounds like something that you'd be interested in, you can find me on, like I said, Instagram, Facebook, wherever, and then just reach out and I'd be happy to talk to you about it.
Yeah. And that is such a kind of the focus that I have on my, from my perspective is, you know, we tend to treat the brain and the body, the mind and the body is two separate things. I mean, if it's mental, it's not physical. If it's physical, it doesn't relate to the mind. And I think you've done a good job of, you know, saying how much it is, how needed it is to integrate those things and something that.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, you can't take it away, right? It's yin and yang. It's two sides of the same coin. This is the only way. That's the thing, right? It's like you could try to only focus on one, and you can do it for some time, but eventually the other shoe is going to drop, and you know this stuff all comes around eventually. And that's why I'm like, might as well start now.
Yeah. Well, thanks a lot for taking time to talk to me, Paul. And I will get the show notes will be up on the website at ultramindsetpodcast.run. And enjoyed talking with you.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me. This is great.
Hey, thanks for listening to this episode of the Ultramarathon Mindset Podcast. If you enjoyed this episode and you know somebody who might like it as well, please take just a minute, send them a link so they can listen. And if you enjoy most of the episodes, please tell your friends. That's the best compliment you can give. I truly enjoy being able to spend time here with you each week, and I appreciate that you take the time to listen. If you have any comments, questions, or stories that you'd like to share, go to ultramindsetpodcast.run, and you can leave a written or a voice message. You can also find the show notes for this episode and more at the same link, ultramindsetpodcast.run. Remember, it takes an ultramarathon mindset to go the distance in running and in life, and a strong mindset is a skill you can learn. Thanks for listening, and I'll see you next time.